In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. You may be seated. Happy Father's Day to everyone. I was on the internet, I saw a quote from Homer Simpson, who represents wisdom of fathers, and he said, you know, it's great having kids these days. What with the internet and all, they practically raise themselves. The internet does help. You know, as a father, I think I've Googled things sometimes. But of course, that's not quite right. And I wanted to say to all of you who are fathers, grandfathers in here this morning, just acknowledge that what you do is important and it matters. I was reviewing some of the social science about this, and it's the more that it's studied, the more we see the importance of the role of a father. But it's not easy work. And so keep going. And thank you for what you are doing. And since it is Father's Day, I thought it would be useful to talk about God as Father today. And it's distinctive of Christianity that we name God, that we call God as Father. And maybe we don't think about that because we're used to hearing it, but it's kind of striking. You don't, for example, in Islam, God is not called Father. It speaks of a special kind of way of seeing God in a special kind of relationship. And of course, we get that because that was an emphasis of Jesus himself. When he taught his disciples how to pray, they said, tell us, well, how do you do this? And he enjoined them to pray, Our Father. It's really striking, approaching God as a father. And Jesus came, among other things, to reveal who God was. And centrally, what he revealed God as is a loving father. So I want to think about that a little bit this morning, what that means for us that we call God Father. And when you think about this, I mean, there's a lot that we could say. When I looked in the Gospels, there are actually 283, if I remember correctly, uses of the word father in there. And a great many of them are about Jesus talking about his father. So more than we can cover here this morning, but a few things that stuck out to me. And one, that relationship of father speaks, first of all, of love. Because if you think about some of the other terms that we use for God, God is a king, and God is a king, and Jesus calls God a king. There's this idea of rule and authority. But a king and a subject is a different sort of relationship to a father and a son, or a father and a daughter. And that speaks of the love and care and a passionate investment in a person. And that Jesus said, that's how God feels about us as children, and that kind of investment and care for us. Second of all, Jesus reveals that God, the Father, takes care of us. In the Sermon on the Mount, he's speaking to people and he says, I know it's very easy to get caught up in our worries and to say, oh, what are we going to eat and what are we going to wear and where are we going to stay and so forth and so on. And we all worry about these things. But Jesus said, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and he'll make sure that you're provided with all these things. So our Heavenly Father provides. He's also merciful. In the Sermon on the Mount as well, Jesus says, be merciful. Why? Because your Heavenly Father is merciful. What an important quality. Merciful. He says, you know, if you think about it, God showers his blessings upon people who deserve them, people who don't, people who acknowledge them, people who spit at him, but he showers richly to all people the good things that he has given, causes the rain to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous, Jesus says. So be the same way. God is merciful, so you be merciful. He's also forgiving. In the Lord's Prayer, we also pray this each time, Father, forgive us. And Jesus says that's a reasonable thing to ask because the Father that we have in God is a forgiving Father. He's giving. Jesus says, he's talking to a crowd, and he says, you guys are fathers, what happens? Your child comes to you and says, I'd like some bread. He says, do you give them then a snake? Or your child asks for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? He says, no, of course not. You, even though you're just, he says, even though you're evil, even though you're ordinary human beings, you know how to give good gifts to your children. He says, how much more do you think God, your heavenly Father, knows how to give good gifts to those who ask him? So he's ready and eager to give gifts. He teaches and he guides. Think how often Jesus talked about the way his Father showed him. He says, he gives me what to speak. He shows me what he is doing. He doesn't just leave me hanging out here on my own to figure it out, but he guides. And Heavenly Father also invites into his work. He sends Jesus. He says, I'm doing things in the world, and I want you to share in that work and to be part of it, and commissions Jesus to do that as well. And then lastly, if there was one reading that I could put on the roster for Father's Day, would be this, the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan, where the Father says to him, "This is my Son, whom I love, and with whom I am well pleased." And I think in this statement, we have three crucial things. It's God speaking his blessing over his child. And in that blessing, notice what we hear. "This is my Son," a claim of ownership. I want everyone to know that this person's with me. This is my Son. And then there's also a speaking of affection, whom I love, of verbalizing that care and that tenderness. And then finally, an expression of delight. I am well pleased in him. And so we see Jesus presents to us this picture of God. He says he's a father, and all of these things are true of him, that he gives and he loves and he's merciful, he's forgiving, he guides us, he calls us into work, and he speaks blessing onto our lives. We all know that we have problems when we are estranged from our earthly fathers. I spoke about that a moment ago, and research has shown that there's a lot of difficulties that we encounter in life because of that. It's a painful thing. And yet, I think at the root of our problems as human beings is our estrangement from our Heavenly Father. It's so much more important. And we are estranged naturally because we are, Scripture says, rebels. You know, a few weeks ago I talked about the parable of the prodigal son, and it's interesting there that the younger son says to the father, and the parable is representing a relationship with God, it says, "Give me my stuff and let me get out of here." And that attitude of like, "God, just stay out of my business, let me do my own thing, let me run my own life." We've all, I think, fallen into that at some point. And I think a lot of this is because our picture of the Father is distorted. And if you go all the way back into Genesis, you can see one of the first things that Satan wanted to do was to get us to be confused about who our Father is. And I think that's why Jesus put so much emphasis on showing us this is who your Father in heaven is. So we have all kinds of lies that slip in. I hear this one a lot. "God's too busy for me." Interesting how often I hear this, actually. And people will say, "Well, I'd kind of like to pray about this thing that's going on in my life, but it's not significant. God's running the universe. He's got really big things on his desk, and he doesn't have time to worry about this." And on the one hand, it feels like a kind of humility. "Well, I don't want to trouble God about this." But on the other hand, I think it betrays a lack of understanding of who God is. God is not busy. God is God and has all the time and attention for every single one of us and every single one of our problems, no matter how insignificant, because they're significant to us. Jesus corrects this picture. He says, you know, sparrows, two of them, you can buy for a penny. And yet, not a single one falls to the ground apart from your Father's knowledge. He says, and you guys, let me tell you, are worth much more than sparrows. And even the very hairs on your head are numbered. And God knows that number is decreasing for some of us. But he is concerned with the details of our lives and is not too busy. So God is not distant, uninterested, too busy. He is interested, present, and intimate. Or we might think something like this. "Well, yeah, God is angry with me. I would love to sort of come back to him, but I know how it's going to be." And think again about the prodigal son who is having these same thoughts, and he says, "Oh, I guess I can go back and maybe he'll let me be like a slave in his house to the father." But what do we see there? Jesus gives us this picture of God of, no, that's not it. He's waiting outside the house looking for his son to return, and when he returns, he runs to him and greets him and restores him to a full place of sonship in the house. And Jesus says, "I want you to hear this, people. That is who God is. When we are distant from him, that's how he's waiting. Not like this, but like this." Or we might think that God is demanding. He's a perfectionist. He wants to steal our joy. Maybe you know the famous quote by H.L. Mencken, and he says, "Puritanism is the haunting fear that someone somewhere may be happy." And he can make this joke in a way because we've known people like that. Maybe we've been like that. And I think Satan loves nothing better than for people who are Christians to be somber. And to present that picture of, well, this life of being in Christ is really a drag, but by goodness, I've got to do it. That's not the picture. Again, Jesus says, listen, I have fullness of joy in the relationship with my Father, and I want to invite you into it. He says to the disciples, I've come to give you life, and I've come that you might have joy, and my joy might be in you, and your joy might be complete. The life in Christ is a life of joy, not a life of drudgery. Sometimes we think God wants to keep good things from me and he wants to give me bad things. He's waiting around the corner to get me. I've heard people say life seems to be going pretty well and I worry when that happens because God's waiting to bring me down a notch. No. No. Again, Jesus says, look, you know how it is to treat your own children. Do you do that? Are you waiting to get them? Or are you waiting to bless them? And he says, let me tell you, your Heavenly Father is waiting to bless you, not to get you. And finally, we might think something like this, well, God doesn't care what I'm up to and what I'm doing. He just kind of wants me to be happy. And again, if we think about a father, a relationship with children, we think, no, because we don't just want our kids to be happy, although we do want that, but we want our children to be good. And it, you know, you can be happy in being on a very wrong path in life. You imagine your child calling you, say, oh, I'm just doing so well. And it's like, that's great, tell me about that. Well, I just got a job as a drug dealer. You know, that's not going to fill you with excitement. And so God, Jesus says, is a father in that he wants our good, and he disciplines those who are his children. So that's also part of who our loving father is. So in all these ways, Jesus wants to correct our picture. He wants to say, all the things that we naturally think about God and that keep us from him, you're wrong about. And the picture I want to give you of God is, again, that picture from the prodigal son who longs for relationship with us and is eager to restore us to it and to share with us all of the good things that he has in his house. And one of the things Jesus did is to announce that invitation to join into that relationship with the Father. And Paul uses this really interesting language about it because he says Jesus was like the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And as we respond to God's invitation, we become adopted into the family and we share in that very same relationship that Jesus had with the Father. He says it can be your relationship too. And we also can know God in those ways. And we also can receive the blessing from our Heavenly Father where he says to us, you are my son, whom I love, and with whom I am well pleased. You are my daughter, whom I love, and in whom I delight. And I would ask you, if you've experienced that, have you received the blessing of the Father upon your life? Because the invitation is there. And Jesus has paid the cost for it, as we see in Romans this morning, that we have peace through God, with God through Jesus Christ. And while we are still sinners and alienated, he died for us, again, as a demonstration of his great love. And as we receive those words of blessing, as we receive sonship, as the Gospel of John begins, to all who received them, he gave the right to become children of God, then we respond as a child. And to God's claiming of us, we claim him. And we say, he is my God, and he's going to be my God, and he'll be first in my life. And in response to God's love, we give love. 1 John says, we love God because he first loved us. And in response to God's affirmation, it says, I am delighted in you. We say, God, how can I delight you more? That we desire to please God because God has reached out and has accepted us. We live the authentic Christian life in response, in other words, to God's blessing, not as a way to earn it. This makes such a difference. Now, for those of us who are fathers, speaking here on the earthly realm for a moment, I think we can see something really important here for us. That this blessing that the Father gives to the Son in Scripture is also tells us about what we need to give to our children. And the more I thought about this week, I thought about how significant those three things are. The ownership. This is my child. You are mine. I claim you. And how in the opposite of that, we see sort of abandonment and distance. in the expression of affection, whom I love, and how important it is to express affection to our children. And then the approval, I am delighted in you and I am pleased, and how important it is for us as fathers, for us as parents, to say to our children, this is what I see in you, and this is how you delight me. And I would speak to all of us as fathers, we reflect upon these things. If there's one of these areas where we need to do differently, it's not too late to start now to do differently. And I would encourage you to think about that and say, where do I need to make some changes? The reality is that some of us have fathers who have not done these things well. Our relationship with our father has not been like the relationship between Jesus and his father. Perhaps we did not receive that blessing. We were not claimed. We had a father who was distant. We did not receive words of affection. We did not receive words of affirmation. Not long ago, I was speaking with a man who was, I guess he's probably in his 70s, and his father has been dead for some time. And the subject of his father came up, and there was a sudden flash of anger, and he said, I would just like to beat the, and I won't repeat here what he said after that. And he had so much anger inside toward his father, and as he talked more about it, it was because of this very thing. His father had never given his blessing, never given affection, never given approval, emotionally distant. And if that is you, if you relate to any of that, I want to say, first of all, I am sorry. Because we all need that. And it's a tragedy that we go without it. And I also want to say to you that you need to forgive. One of the things our Heavenly Father says is, I am forgiving and I call you to forgive. And we have to let go of these things. And it's sinful to hold on to unforgiveness. And Jesus says, you've got to be able to walk away from that and to forgive even those who have wounded us deeply. And I would encourage you this morning, if that's you, to maybe take this opportunity to forgive where your father has fallen short. And I want to encourage you in that with a story, because in our human strength, we often find forgiveness quite literally impossible. There are wounds that are so deep that we feel we cannot release them. But there was a woman whose name was Corrie Ten Boom. And maybe you've heard this story before. She had been in concentration camps in World War II. And there her father had been killed and her sister, who she loved so dearly, had been killed. And after the war, she was a Christian and she would go and speak about God's love and his forgiveness. And she was at one point doing this in Germany. And there in the back of the church, where Stan's sitting maybe, but nothing personal, Stan. And he comes up at the end of the service and is in line waiting to greet her. And he says, you know, I love what you said and I appreciate your message and I wanted you to know that I have been reconciled to God and I've received his forgiveness. And this man who was a prison camp guard was a guard in the very camp where she was. And some things never leave your memory, and she could remember very clearly the cruelty of this man. And she said, inside she was feeling like this, I cannot do it, I cannot forgive this man. All the anger, all the hurt rushed back in that time. But she realized, she said, God, you asked me to do it. And so you're going to have to help me here. And she said, this is what I did. I was willing, I stuck out my hand as he came up, and something happened. You know, we heard this morning about the Spirit pouring out his love into our hearts. She said, that's what happened. So as I reached out to his hand, God changed my heart and poured his love into me and his compassion. And I found not only did I forgive, but I had love that welled up within me. And I embraced him and they wept and she forgave him wholeheartedly. And she says, here's what I learned in that. Not only does God ask us to do, but he then gives us the power to do what he asks. We're going to have a time of prayer this morning. Father John will say a little bit more about that during and after communion. And I want to invite you, if anything is on your heart this morning that I've touched on, if you need to receive the love of the Father, or if you struggle with that and need to talk about that, or if you need to forgive your own father, or if you need to repent for how you've been as a father and need to make changes, or anything else that's on your heart this morning, we invite you for prayer. There will be several of us back there. But what I want you to take away, remember this Father's Day, is that we all have a Heavenly Father, no matter what our earthly father has been like. We all have a Heavenly Father. And Jesus says, you don't understand how good he is. And we are all invited into relationship with that Father. Will you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you that you've revealed to us that our God is a Father who loves, who has mercy, who forgives, who gives, who guides, who blesses. We ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts to be able to see it. That you would open our hearts to be able to receive it. And that in him, and as we live into that identity as beloved children, Lord, that we would come to reflect more and more the heart of the Father in the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.